Rokan Show with me, Anna DeBlancis. We have Chef Graham Elliott sitting in with us today here in studio. As Rose going to be back tomorrow, but he's off today. This segment is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. And our guest is Dr. Jim Adams, the Chief Medical Officer, Senior Vice President at Northwestern Medicine. Hi, Dr. Jim. We have a lot to talk about today because the measles story is everywhere. When we talked with you last, it was a concern, and now concerns are growing even further. I know there's a cluster in New York that particularly health officials have an eye on right now.
Yeah, it's a very disappointing story. Measles in the United States was declared eliminated in the year 2000. Mm. We thought it was a success, but now already in 2019, the United States has had 555 cases. And it's so discouraging to see this come back.
Seems like a small number, but it seems when I hear from health professionals, there is a degree of strong concern. You see this in New York, where you saw the mandatory vaccine order given, and now you have a lawsuit from some New York parents who don't want to give that vaccine. And there's even one school, small school, they shut down because they wouldn't willingly give up their medical records to show who's vaccinated. So there's a lot of pushback from certain communities. In this case, I think it's religious communities who don't believe in vaccinations. But it's that's the way New York's dealing with it. The vaccine is 97% effective, so it certainly helps.
We've had a vaccine for 50 years used safely, but measles today, because it's not available everywhere, measles kills almost 90,000 children every year. Mm. It's one of the leading worldwide causes of death of children under five. It's one the leading vaccine preventable cause of death in children worldwide. It is nothing to mess around with. Mm-hmm. So to have a safe vaccine is disappointing. And the more worrisome thing is there's so much misinformation out there, and that's what hurts.
I mean, I think that that's what you've been seeing with, you know, saying autism is related to vaccines. The minute that that came out, so many people are like, I'm just not going to vaccinate my kids. It's come out and been disproven, right?
We used the measles vaccine in the 1960s. Right. We used it in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. We used it in the 1980s. We've had it for half a century. This is just a new conversation. It just hurts.
Yeah. Symptoms, though, that's the hard part, because you can be exposed to it even before, is that right, before you start to show real symptoms? One of the issues?
Well, it takes a week to two to develop the symptoms, but then it starts with a high fever, and that's where then the contagiousness hits.
So what would you look for as a parent? Not that we have some cases here in the Chicago area, don't we? Aren't there some in the suburbs?
We do.
Talk about what we're seeing here locally.
Well, it's rare, and but we expect to see it because of O'Hare and international travelers, so we expect it to be in the environment. Now, fortunately, most people are vaccinated, but there's some pockets that are not, and it does show up. But when I was taught, and I was just in the area where measles was being eradicated, but still rarely around, I was taught that it was a high temperature, 104, big temperature, and the child looks measly. It was really interesting.
Measly?
Measly.
What does that mean?
Yeah, red eyes, they're tired, they're coughing, they're just miserable looking. It's just this miserable appearance, and then the rash breaks out about 3 days after the temperature. So it takes a while for this to incubate, but they're highly contagious. And measles is one of the rare viruses that spreads through the air. That's the real danger.
So explain that. You say it's highly contagious. You could just be in the same room like you and I are talking 4 feet away and I could get the measles?
That's the danger, yes. If you're just in the environment and it's a virus that hangs in the air, and it's one of the most highly contagious viruses. Almost every virus you pick up from a surface, this you can pick up from the air, and it's highly contagious. Mm. You see why we're afraid.
Right. And as you were saying, most of this generation, past generations have been vaccinated, but if the current one or current kids are not getting it and it's going around, they're the ones that are going to be most susceptible.
Yep.
Right? And it's horrible.
And there's people on chemotherapy who have a weak immune system, who are very, very young children who are not old enough to get the vaccine, and or chronically ill people. And so these are the people that can be truly harmed by the measles.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. That's very sad. That's the reason alone to get the vaccination, just to protect those kids that really need your help. Can I ask you about shingles as well? Because it seems like, just anecdotally, even asking around the office here, people younger and younger we know of are getting the shingles. It was once associated with someone who was quite elderly and maybe immunodepressed. And now you hear more cases of this happening. Is that what you're seeing as well, doctor?
Sure. People who have the virus, it stays in the nerve endings, and then under stress, it can break out. So we see it a lot of us with associated stress. People might be traveling and get jet lagged. They may be overworked, under stress for any reasons, and it breaks out. So it does happen, but it's time limited. Usually you feel some tingling in advance. You can get medicines to help temper it.
A little bit of pain. As soon as it starts to present, you can get the antivirals, I guess, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Also, we want to ask you about added sugars. There's this push, and you've seen some articles out about trying to get the FDA to label packaging. And obviously, there's a push behind this to put it on the packages, you know, make the food companies explain how many grams of added sugar you have. And you might think that then the food companies would say, well, we're going to try to reduce the amount of sugar. Then there's sort of that might be what's behind this campaign, because if you have to put it on the box, they might be encouraged, disincentivized to add it. But in terms of how dangerous they are, added sugars in our diet, and why we should watch out for them, speak to that issue a little bit for us.
Yeah, so the best thing is to eat natural foods, the natural vegetables, the natural fruits, the natural grains, the natural seeds. And that's the best way to approach it. The highly processed foods of any sort are proving to be surprisingly bad for us. And so the added sugars, but added and processed foods of any sort are kind of bad. Teasing out, is it just the sugar? I don't know. Labeling, always good. I think people, more information is better, but it gets complicated. It mm-hmm. really gets complicated.
Well, it's like fructose, dextrose, lactose. I mean, I go through the labels myself. I will admit, mm-hmm. when I go to the store, I even have a trouble finding a bread that doesn't have one of those when I'm making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or whatever for lunchtime. And I feel like it's added into everything.
Well, I remember two years ago, you know, the industries were trying to change it from corn syrup to corn sugar. And it's one of those things that you've heard for 2 decades now, corn syrup's bad. So if you see corn sugar, a lot of people might just say, oh,
that's okay,
that's
right?
That's fine.
That sounds fine.
Right. So I think it is one of those things where you look at a label and you're told to look at it. You still have no, it's like reading Russian. Like you have no clue what any right. of these things, right? Niacin, riboflavin.
Right.
No one knows what that stuff is.
Are those good for you, doctor? The niacins and the riboflavins?
They are. They're good vitamins, general vitamins. But the trick, just look for the thing with the highest fiber. If you're looking for bread, just look for fiber. Take the one with the highest fiber. Always take the one
Pro
with the
tip.
Highest fiber.
That's going to change buying tactics now. That really changes everything. So it's sugars in general, moderation. Is good, obviously. We shouldn't be so, should we be pretty worried about them? Should we watch them in our diet in terms of being high level sensitive to them?
Yeah, but it gets too confusing. There's not one thing to watch. I think skew to the healthy, skew to the fiber, you'll be fine. Skew to the low processed. And don't get hung up on any one thing, because the fads and the narratives change. Fat, sugars.
That's true.
Dr. Jim's in bed with big fiber.
I like that. I think we all should be. It sounds horrible. I'm not getting enough, I'm
horrible
sure.
Industry.
As a chef, do you think about sugar content?
I think that I don't even want to say everything in moderation, because we look at sugar the way that you look at salt, and we also look at acids the same, right? It mm-hmm. extracts flavor. It makes something taste more like itself. But I 1,000% agree that the more hands that get in the middle of something, the worse it is, right? Like processed. I always think if you really want potato chips, like make them yourself. You know, if you just get a great potato, shave it paper thin, bake it off, season it with some herbs and sea salt, mm-hmm. great, you know, but clearly more convenient to grab a bag and open it up. But if you really did look at what was in it, how many grams of fat or sodium,
preservatives, I mean,
there's a reason, you know, that people are the size that they
right.
are.
The obesity epidemic.
Absolutely. And you don't want to call people out, but really when you think of convenience, eating in your car, eating late, grabbing these things that are tasty because they're loaded with sugar, salt, and fat.
Right.
It's a no-brainer.
It is. What's changed my life is an air fryer, because now I put vegetables in the air fryer, and everyone in my family will eat vegetables now because they're crispy and they taste like potato chips. Mm-hmm. And so that's just what we've done to try to get everybody to eat more vegetables. We also ask you to weigh in, Dr. Jim, about there was this groundbreaking medical news this week about the world's first 3D printer generated heart. And it seems like such a remarkable thing. I guess it doesn't actually work in the person's body, but this is still groundbreaking.
So it is. There's a lot of engineering marvels going on in artificial organs broadly. This artificially developed heart, because there's a shortage of organs, and people need organs, and there's always going to be a shortage. And people are trying to manufacture artificial kidneys and artificial livers, finding the scaffolding to populate cells, or in this case of heart, do 3D printing. So it's fascinating, very, very early, But in our lifetime, we could see manufactured artificial organs that actually work.
Mm-hmm. So they use the patient's own cells for this. It feels like this is something, how close to being something that you could implant into somebody? How far away would you say we are from having a functional printed heart? It just seems weird to even say that.
Yeah, we're many years, but using the patient's own cells means they won't reject it. So that's a huge advance on the rejection front. But then we have to make sure that it's safe and effective. It's got a long way to go before we could test it and make sure it's safe. It's got a long, long way to go. But each one of these steps are exciting.
You were saying in the culinary world, you see them working with this kind of science.
Right, absolutely. And trying to, you know, grow meat in a lab, because the idea that, you know, raising cattle, it takes millions of acres, and now people all around the world have more access to funds to buy those type of items. So, you know, it doesn't have longevity. It's not self-sustaining. Same thing with seafood, right?
I mean,
think of how many tuna rolls are served just in this city times the world over. They're not going to be around much longer. So are you going to be growing these type of things, you know? And I was going to ask you, doctor, when you get into the world of medicine, right, you're like, I'm going to go to med school, and there's a lot of different reasons. I want to make people healthy. I want my dad to love me. Whatever, you know, all these different things of why I'm going to get into this line of work. And did you ever think, you'd be talking about hearts being 3D printed? Because I never thought as a chef I'd be talking about meat getting grown in a lab.
No.
When I started.
Couldn't imagine.
So could not have imagined it. I was training at the time where heart surgery was still coming into the forefront at all. And that was shocking and amazing. To think where we are now is just inconceivable.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing in the food world. I mean, talking about, you know, being able to grill, sear, and roast, and now things are sous vide, you know, where they're perfect temperature.
And I don't even know what that is, but I like when it's done.
You basically, you cook it under a vacuum, so it's sealed, and none of the flavor can get out, and then you poach it in water, so that you could cook a short rib at 220 for 8 days, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it would be fork tender, versus back in the last 500 years, you would have to put it under, a little piece of parchment paper and let it simmer and hope that it, you know, came out right. So
breakthroughs all around.
Temperature, but I mean, I never in a million years thought that I would be doing that kind of stuff.
All right, we've got medicine and cooking. We got the perfect blend here today, and we appreciate you, Dr. Jim Adams, Senior Vice President, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine. Thank you so much. We've covered a lot of bases today, and we appreciate it.